Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, first, I just got to say, I have missed you. I've missed you so much with these holidays. Holidays have been great, and you can hear it in my voice. I got a little tail end of a cold, but I've so missed you. And you know what? Our text line was down as well. So even when we were doing live shows, I had no way of connecting with you. So I'm so glad that text line is up. And today's show is really interactive. It requires your participation. Every single year, we have our good friend Jimmy Page on the show to work with you and talk with you, go back and forth about discerning what your one word is for this next year and why it matters. So have you picked your word for the upcoming year? If so, text it in, 877-933-2484. Maybe a better way to say it is, has that word picked you? Has God revealed to you a word that He wants you just to have a filter, a focus as you look ahead at the journey? Now, Jimmy co-authored, he's written a number of books, but the book we're drawing from today, he co-authored with some friends, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And then there's the One Word Journal, Your Weekly Journey for Life Change. The journal's so awesome because once you pick your word, then daily you can write down your wins, your thoughts, and that really keeps the word in front of you. And maybe you've never been one to pick a word and you're wondering, why does that even matter? I'm telling you, you'll be so inspired by the time this show is through. So can I hear from you? Text me if already you've got a word. God's just highlighted a word for you. 877-933-2484. One of the things that's my favorite that Jimmy does is that, let's say you text in your word, we'll dialogue back and forth and he will help you kind of unpack it, maybe see it from a fresh angle. And that's just one of my most favorite things. I feel like he's got a real prophetic voice and insight when it comes to discerning these words. And I see those words coming in. Keep them coming. I love it. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jimmy Page is a founder and president of the Unstoppable Freedom Alliance, the Be Unstoppable Life and Leadership System, and the Joseph Project Network. He's a health and wellness expert, Spartan athlete, podcaster, and formerly an executive with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's the author of several books and a frequent speaker for conferences, events, school, sports teams. He's a husband and proud father of four grown kids, and he and his wife started a cancer foundation, which you've heard about on this show, Believe Big. His wife is Evalise, and she's an overcomer. My goodness, I love that girl. Together, they started this foundation, Believe Big, and it's following her victory over cancer. His mission is to inspire you to live the unstoppable life, unleashing your best in every way. You can visit his website, beunstoppable.live, or email him at jimmy@beunstoppable.live. And I want you to know we've got three sets of Jimmy's books to give away. So the one word, which helps you just walks you through the process of discerning your word, and then the journal so you can start to walk with God and really hold that word up as a filter to say, how do you want me to look at this? What do you want me to know about this? And I think it's powerful. So you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. The words are already coming in, Jimmy. I love our audience so much. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it is a pleasure. You know, I told you earlier, I circled this day on the calendar. I've been looking forward to it. I love you. I love your audience. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be so much fun. So before we get into it, just on a personal level, what's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Okay, so the verse that I'm going to share today is Philippians 1:21, and it goes like this. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, or better. Even better than living now in the physical realm is to die and live forever. So that's kind of a cool concept. It's hard to get your head around it, though, because, you know, I think so often, and I'm the type of person that really wants to get the most out of this life. I mean, I really want to maximize this, you know, and you can tell when you write a book about focus on one word that brings dramatic life change, you know that there's something going on there. But for me to be able to say to live is Christ, so that every breath I take now, everything that I do now has the potential for echoes in eternity, right? It can influence others. It can have a positive effect. It makes me, in many ways, unoffendable, you know, unbreakable, undeterred in my mission, And it helps me to be more focused and more faithful even now, knowing that really no matter what happens, it's going to be ultimately the way God does it, ultimately for my good, even hard things, and ultimately for his glory. And in the end, you know, eternal life is a pretty good deal.
Indeed, and amen. That's so good. Well, let's kind of make the case for the word. I love that so many have texted in, and we're going to get to these words. Oh, my goodness, I love these words. So good. But, you know, you open the books by stating that 87% of adults start off the new year with resolutions, but most are forgot within weeks or months. Talk about why that happens. And this is, you know, a one-word idea is so much beyond willpower, bootstrap
yes.
theology, so to speak. Make the case, if you
yes.
will.
Okay, so if the audience remembers nothing else, one word is all about be, whereas resolutions are all about do. So one word, the whole concept of one word is built around this idea that I can become everything that God has made me to be. You know, I can become the person, I can take on the character and the disciplines and the traits that he's intended for me, the virtues. I can become that person rather than be someone who just does stuff. You know, I always believe that what you do flows out of who you are. So the whole focus of this is stop writing the big, long New Year's resolutions list of all the things that you're going to get done this year. And instead, let God give you one single word, a single word theme that you can narrow your focus through that will help you become the person you're made to be. In all six dimensions, you know, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually, and even financially.
So good.
That it's a transformational process rather than a get things done process.
Oh, I love it so much. I mean, you think about, I say this all the time to the women I coach, focused passion equals forward movement. You know, when you focus the passion, it propels you forward. So what was your word last year, Jimmy?
My word last year was rattle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Exodus 37. Ezekiel 37, where the prophet goes to the valley of dry bones and God says, hey, speak life into those bones, you know, and see if we can bring these folks who may be complacent or maybe discouraged or down or tired. Could we bring these back to life? And so my word became rattle. Speak God's word, God's life. Speak the word of God to people in such a way that they get aroused, that they come back to life, and they're raised up into this vast army for Christ.
Hmm. And how did that word, you know, surprise you, and how did that word confirm and affirm that that was your word?
Well, it's funny because you never know the way a word is going to affect you during the year. You might have some ideas, and we always ask people, when you select your word, tie the why to it. Why did you pick that word, right? And so I had some ideas about how that word was going to work out in my life. But the interesting thing was, I think, a couple things. One is, not everyone gets rattled back to life. Like, you know, there is a complacency in some people, and I have to just let that go. Because God is the one that breathes new life into people. But I can be faithful in the things that I can control. And what I discovered was, hey, if you're encouraging to people, if you're uplifting to those people, if you have an eye to what God might be wanting to impart to that person, wow, the responsiveness of it is amazing because people want to be encouraged. We are under-encouraged. So when you rattle, you know, you hear those bones coming together and they rattle, it's fun to watch people come back to life through a kind word or encouragement or maybe even, you know, speaking some life into someone.
Well, you think about the enemy is all about death. You know, he's the opposite of everything that God is about. He steals, kills, and destroys. So if you've got somebody who's speaking life into dry, dead bones, you know you have an enemy, not an opposition. So are there ways as you were rattling that you felt that you encountered opposition maybe that in a way that surprised you?
Oh, 100%. Like, are you reading my emails or something? I mean, what's happening here? you know, when you bring what I would consider, you know, you think about I'm not a prophet, but when you think about the prophets of old and that story, you know, when you're bringing truth to people, people don't always receive truth. And sometimes the life you're breathing into someone is a hard truth, right? it's a maybe a blind spot. Maybe it's revealing something that, hey, what have you considered that this might need to change, or have you seen this? So when that happens, people aren't always receptive to it initially. So you will get some pushback. You know, I've been, you know, part of my message this year has been to help people get ready spiritually for challenging times, get ready in the physical realm by getting supplies, getting some food together, getting some water, getting some of these prepper things. And some people are absolutely in denial that hard times are coming. And I just laugh because I'm like, wait, the Bible is full of get ready statements. The Bible is full of get prepared. So some people are like, listen, you're crazy. And I'm not, you know, I'm not paying any attention. That kind of struck me as a weird response, something I didn't expect.
All right. Before we go to break, I kind of know, what's your word for 23?
Oh, execute. Execute. Get things done. There you go.
Okay. Very good. As we go to break, my word last year was glory. That was just the word God put before me. And I can't tell you, he taught me, showed me glory in my suffering, glory in my weakness, glory in my death to self so that he could live. But, you know, really, when you see his glory, I mean, everything changes. So this year, I really, God picked this word for me. It's been in glaring lights just in my spirit, is ease. I think the stress of two major oral surgeries, the stress of two major book projects impacted me emotionally, physically, and every other way. And I just, he's leading me into a place of ease and the effort. Just, you know, cease striving, know that he is God, but just to rest in him, not to stop working, but to have find ease in the effort. And it's been, I've been leaning into it, and there's been a lot of life in it for me. So I'd love for you to comment on that on the other side, Jimmy. And then we're going to start tackling your words, friends, and we'll, you know, kind of weave in content from his book. But there's so many. I love it. Thank you for texting your word. And if you need help, tell us, what are you thinking? What's on your heart? And we're going to, Jimmy may ask some thought-provoking questions to help you find your word. You can text me now, 877-933-2484. More with Jimmy Page in a minute. Sign up for the free Bible in a Year reading plan at myfaithradio.com and get everything you need to follow the plan each day and stay on track, including a printed schedule. You can sign up now at myfaithradio.com. I hope you're having a fantastic day. It's so good to be live again. I can't even tell you how much I've missed you. It's Susie Larson on Susie Larson Live, and our good friend Jimmy Page joins us every year around this time to walk us through the one word, you know, picking a word and actually letting God help you pick. It's not just a good word, as he says. It's a God word where you get the sense that God is saying, I want you to narrow your focus, and it kind of creates just sort of a filter through what you see, the journey that God has you on, and it helps you. And it's not about doing, it's really about becoming. And we've got several stacks of these book bundles to give away. So it's the one word book that just helps you discern your word and work it out. And then the journal, it's your weekly journal for life change. So as you you discern your word, you can write down your wins, thoughts, insights that God gives you. You can text the word book if you want to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you want to share your word, if you've got one already, share it. Here's the number again, 877-933-2484. So before we start hearing from some of our listeners as they share their words, and have, I'll have you comment on them. Any thoughts on my word? The word ease, you know, again, I'm no slouch. I tend to drive point A, point B. I think you know that. But the idea that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, like I'm already bucking up against it and seeing in places where I can maybe tend to strive or get a little anxious, I just take a deep breath and I trust him more. And it's been so far so good. Any thoughts?
Okay, so I wrote down a bunch of notes like during the break. I was like, I immediately stuff came to me, and it's so funny. You just said everything I was going to say. Number one is ease in the effort is what you said. Ease in the effort. You know, it implies this sense of trusting more, right? Maybe a little less doing and a lot more trusting, not striving so much to make it happen. And this is what I wrote down. Letting God maybe do more of the work, more of the heavy lifting, and trusting him to fill in the gaps where you would normally be busting it. and you just say, God, could you multiply the effort that I'm giving so that I don't have to feel like I have to do it all?
That's so good.
And that's a beautiful thing, right?
Really is. You know, and there needs to be an ebb and a flow. There are times when the land needs to rest a little bit. And so I just get the sense from him so much that that's that, you know, just that this is an ebb to the flow that I've just come through. Okay. Let's see here. This dear listener said resilience is their word. Any comments on that one?
Okay. Is there any virtue or skill? Resilience is kind of a skill too. That we all need more of than right now, you know?
Right, exactly.
I would like to have two words this year, but that would be breaking the rules. if I did, resilient might be the other one, because resilience is means that you bounce back from disappointment. You bounce back from challenging times. Resilience means that you're going to go through some stuff. And, you know, I don't know anybody that hasn't gone through some stuff over the last couple of years, sometimes really hard stuff. So when I think of resilience and that becoming part of my DNA, because that's what this process is designed to do, as you journey with your word, you learn things, you apply things, and it becomes part of who you are. That word is going to show up. You might have challenges, you might go through hard times, but being able to persevere through those hard times and be better on the other side, that's what resilience implies, that you're not only, you got through it, that's perseverance, but resilience means you're better than when you started. So, man, that's an awesome word.
Another one that stands out to me about that is, you know, we've all gone through hard times and we're all going to go through hard times, but you think of the resilience that's already been developed. I noticed for me, yes, Jimmy, that things that used to be hard aren't hard anymore because, you know, it's like it's almost like the wax on, wax off training that and the sparring that God allows you to go through with your trials. The resilience too, sometimes you're living out the benefit of past resilience, where you're like, well, that would have knocked somebody else over. That would have hit me like a steel-tipped arrow. Today, it's a Nerf dart because God's wired so much strength in me. So I pray that you start to see even the benefit of your past perseverance, that you're more resilient even now than you've been. Mm-hmm. All right. Karen's word, I love it. It's all caps and exclamation points, triumph. Anything you want to say about that one?
Oh, my gosh. You know, so when I think of triumph, there's two elements to that, right? One is victory. You win. Triumph means you win, but triumph means you overcame something. So there's kind of a built-in double piece here, right? It's not just winning, because we all want to win, but triumph means that you face something that you've been able to overcome and win in the end. And I think from a biblical perspective, you know, God is the one that fights our battles. God is the one that gives us the victory. So there is this dependence upon God in challenging times in order to triumph.
Love it. I love it. Okay, this one, surrender everything. So surrender, what do you say?
Oh, I mean, it's the hardest thing to do, you know, is to kind of live with an open hand. You know, I think you've used this illustration. I know that Evelise, my wife, uses this illustration of having open palms turned up to God. And that's that position of surrender, like, I give it all to you. Yes, I play a part in this, but this surrendering is this trusting that God has your circumstances. He has your life in his hands, and you're surrendering your desires and wants and will to his. And that's a really secure place to be because God is really good. So no matter what comes, you can be confident in what God is doing.
Very good. And this one, abide, right away, Jimmy, I'm thinking of two things, of pruning and abundance, you know, as that intimate place of he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like on one hand, you're going to enjoy the absolute intimacy of sinking in deeper into the Father's love. And then when he does prune, you trust him more because you see the wisdom in the process. And then you get blown away by the abundance. Yes. Anything else come to you?
Yeah, so it's John 15. You're talking about John 15. If anyone wants to know where that is, John 15 is that process of abiding in Christ, remaining in him. He is our source of life. But in that process, his goal is to produce much fruit. So if you feel like your life is fruitful, God even wants to produce more fruit. But it's that process of being able to stay connected to the vine. Don't get disconnected because that's your source of life. And then let God do the pruning along the way so that you can produce a great harvest.
So good. So good. This one is beauty.
Wow. Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, okay. So a friend of mine just this past week said, I think her word is wonder. Okay. Wonder.
And it's tied
to beauty, right? Because when you allow yourself to wonder, you know, to have a position of thinking that things are bigger than you, seeing the wonder of God's creation, then you see the beauty in it. And then the rest of it is then, so now you see it, and now you can show other people, and you will see it in others. You know, so this idea of beauty. The other thing that comes right to mind is we are God's masterpiece, and that even when we feel like we're a mess, He is creating something beautiful. He is creating something that is going to be a masterpiece. And by the way, you're a masterpiece even in the middle of the mess, even when it doesn't look so good. So you're finding that beauty even in those moments.
Like I said, this is why this interactive conversation is so important, because maybe they were thinking of putting myself in the path of beauty, beholding beauty, staying in awe, and then you turn it around and say, and actually you're a work of art as well. And maybe, friend, as Jimmy's saying that, God wants to show you the beauty and the wonder of you, of what He's made in you. This is why I think these conversations are so important, because they surprise you. The more that you talk about them, they surprise you, because you think, oh, this is one-dimensional, but it's never just one-dimensional. I mean, there's times where God uses that to get at maybe self-contempt or a mistrust or whatever. So, I mean, we just have about a couple minutes before the break, but say a word about that. You talked about the six different kind of dimensions of the word, but even that, it tends to go deeper than that.
Yeah, much deeper. And I think that's the thing. So I'll give you just a quick story on that. In 2008, when Evelise was diagnosed with fourth stage colon cancer, we were kind of on a journey to try and figure out what was going on, because she wasn't feeling well. And we finally got to the place where we figured it out. My word for that year was love. And I thought I was doing a great job. You know, I'm like, I'm loving, I'm paying attention, blah, blah, blah. But in the moment of the unexpected blessing of the cancer diagnosis was that it revealed to me that there was such a deeper love that was possible, but only if you could get jolted to a place where you go, oh, I really need to pay attention. And what I discovered was, I couldn't remember last time I held her hand. I couldn't remember the last time that we made eye contact, because our lives were so busy with the kids. And man, that was a dimension. And that's why the word love took on a new meaning around the 10th month of the year.
Wow. That's why this conversation is so important. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about this word is trust. Another one said their word is redeemed. Another said hers is revival. Keep them coming. And we'll also draw from the content from Jimmy's book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. He talks about this process where, again, it's not exactly that you pick the word. Sometimes it's like the word picks you, where God reveals it. But there's a process. If you're struggling, sometimes God just drops it into your heart. But there's times where you need to prepare your heart and you need to just hear from God. And He'll talk about what that looks like. Sometimes you need to look at your life and go, what do I need? What needs to change? What's in my way? All those questions He explores in his book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. If you want in on the bundle, the book and the journal, so you can kind of chronicle this next year how God is using your word to help you become who He wants you to be, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Sizzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend Jimmy Page. We've had him on to talk about other topics before, but we love to have him on every year at this time to help you discern your word for the next year and why it matters. And it's not a legalistic thing. It really is an invitation to be inspired. As he said, resolutions are all about doing, but the word is about becoming. It's just getting a sense from God. What do He want you to focus on? And kind of the filter through which you see and view your life, so you can get a sense of where God is taking you. And again, we'll draw from some content from his book. We've got his book, One Word That Will Change Your Life, and it's a short little handbook, just a little book to help you work your way through to find your word. And then there's this wonderful journal, the One Word Journal, your weekly journey for life change, where you can write about your wins, how you put your one word into action, how you're going to impact others with your one word. I love that because it gives your word multiple dimensions. So we've got several book bundles to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. So we're just going to keep working our way through some of these that you've texted in because I think we can all learn from them. One of the words someone wrote in was trust. What do you say?
Well, I think it goes back to kind of where part of what your word was, ease.
Yeah.
Ease means you're kind of taking your hands off of the wheel, and trust is the same thing, right? Trust means that I'm not going to try and control everything. And again, that's the type of person I am. It's like I am wired to just, okay, give me the ball, let's go. I want control. Like I was a guard when I played basketball because I like to have the ball in my hands. Mm-hmm. But this idea of trusting is that you're willing to give up the ball. You're willing to say, okay, God, I trust you in whatever circumstances I'm facing, and I don't have to control it. It may be relationships with my kids. I don't have to, you know, use the joystick on the video game to control the outcomes of my life or of my kids' lives. I can surrender that, and I can trust that God cares even more than I do about it.
Yeah. And what I think about, too, is Jeremiah 17, I think it's verse 7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted by the riverbank, by streams of living water. Their roots go down deep into the water. Their leaves stay green. They're not bothered by the heat or long months of drought because they continue to flourish. And so I feel like it's like you said, on one hand, it's this vulnerable gesture. I'm trusting you. More is on your shoulders than mine. But on the other hand, there are benefits. You're putting yourself in a position of flourishing and of steadiness, regardless of the elements. And I just think we're so averse at times to trust, but man, if you can grow in your trust, you're going to grow in your stability, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I love that. It's the thing I think I have the most challenge with. I mean, Evelise is so good at this. Like her word for the year is restore. Probably shouldn't, you know, brag on this, but her word is amazing. She couldn't decide between two words, restore and rest. And then God revealed to her that rest is the first four letters of restore.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, could God just speak to me that way one time?
She must be his favorite, Jimmy. Let's just admit it, okay?
I'm so jealous. Every day, I'm on it. But, you know, that's the beauty of it, right? That God restores things. God does things when we rest in him. And that's just kind of a cool, you know, piece of trust.
Yeah. One of our very thoughtful listeners said, Susie, did you know that the word ease is hidden in the word cease? And it is, cease striving.
Wow.
You know, I think that's so great. Okay, here's another word someone has is redeemed. What do you say?
Well, you know, if you're in Christ, you know what it feels like to be redeemed. You know, like God takes things that are broken or damaged and he makes them whole, you know, and that's kind of, I feel like for me, redeem means you take something with unlimited potential that's been damaged in some way, in this case, because of sin, but God can fix anything. No one's too far that he can't reach you. No one's done something so bad that he can't fix it or forgive it. And that's the beauty of redemption. It's the beauty of grace. So when I think of redemption, I think, man, he's taking what was broken, he's making it whole, and he's using it for good.
I love that so much. And let's just, for those maybe who still are skeptical about having a word, I mean, let's think about this. He is a redeemer. Yeah. And if you start to lean in to go, this is a word God's put before me, and my God is a redeemer, and there's going to be places in my life that things that are obvious, places I know need to be redeemed, but there's going to be places that I have not discerned, but that God knows and he's going to redeem. And I think that just all suddenly kind of moves you into a place of just assurance and awareness and a confidence that you're in good hands. So this is why I think a word is so powerful, because again, it's a biblical word. It's not just a good word. It's a God word. Yeah. Maybe make the distinction between those two things.
Well, you know, in the earliest days of doing this, I can still remember the first year we did it, which was way back in 1999, we got introduced to this concept, and our first word was in the year 2000. And at that time, we're like, oh, I can pick a word. Sure. Okay, what do I, you know, what do I want my word to be? And we just kind of pulled it out of the air. And it had impact, interestingly enough. It had impact. But as we journeyed a little further and we started sharing it with people, we realized that, you know, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He dwelt among us. There's this sense of power in words, right? We know that words have the power of life and death. So we really had the sense that if we want our life to be directed by God, that it would be super helpful to let Him reveal the Word to us for this year, the area that maybe we needed the most change, or the area that He could do the most through us. Whatever it was, we wanted to be in sync, in tune with what God was doing. So we started to seek God, I think, in a different way, that it would become a God word, as we say.
So good. I love this one. They said, my word is available. I'm excited about this word because I will be stretched as I watch the walls I've put around my time fall, and I'm going to watch God move. That is a gutsy, awesome word. What do you say?
Yeah, so the first word that comes to mind on available is yes, right? So so many times we're kind of biased towards no, like, oh, an opportunity shows up and we're like, oh, no, or maybe it's outside of our comfort zone. But what God's saying is, no, I just want you to be available because I can use people who are available, open and willing to listen to my voice and to obey, right? So in this availability, it's an openness to what God's asking you to do, and it's an obedience to what He's asking you to do. And then the blessing on the other side is when you step out of your comfort zone and you obey, then, oh my gosh, God does miraculous things. He does supernatural things because it doesn't depend on you. But just being available, oh my, so powerful. So many of us are so closed off, kind of insulated, maybe a little bit selfish in some way. Well, I'm speaking for myself now, but, you know, so available, oh my gosh, it's going to open up a ton of blessings, I believe.
Wow, so good. What do you say to the person, Jimmy, who's listening, who says, I really actually don't know where to start, never really thought to do this, maybe have been skeptical in the past, but I'm interested. So what are my next steps?
Well, I wrote the book with two other people, Dan Britton and John Gordon, amazing men of God. And John Gordon was super instrumental in this process, in making the process be very simple so that anyone can do it and no one is intimidated by it. And the three steps are to look in, to look up, and to look out. So the process, and I just encourage people, even if you're a veteran at this, to follow the process because it gives you enough time to slow down, turn off the noise, especially in the look in phase, slow down, and consider these couple of questions. You know, what do I need most? If I was going to experience the greatest positive life change this year, what do I need most? And what's in the way of me becoming that type of person? What do I need? But you need to unplug from the busyness. You need to set some time aside in quiet and be able to be introspective. That's looking within. And then the looking up part, which is really the supernatural part, if you will, it's when you ask God, you bring God into the process. And you say, well, if there was one thing that you wanted to do in me and through me this year, to impact others, God, what would that be? Reveal to me. It's kind of that Psalm 139 when David says, hey, search me and know my heart. Expose anything in me that needs to change. That's that looking up piece. And if you do those two pieces, I believe, and I've seen it, I believe God is going to reveal some options. You know, it may be super clear, a single word. It may be four or five things that you think, wow, any of these can fit. But I'm telling you, He will lead you. He'll connect some dots between what you think you need and what God thinks you need, and you'll be able to arrive at a word.
Very good. Okay, this dear one says, bloom is their word. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, there's that famous line, I think it's in Facing the Giants movie, which was such a great movie, inspiring, where it says, hey, bloom where you're planted. You know, you don't have to leave. Sometimes you don't have to leave challenging situations. If they're dangerous situations, you want to get out. If there's things that are abuse, of course. But bloom means, hey, right where you're at, reflect God's glory and His goodness. Make a difference with the people that God has trusted you with, whether it's family members or friends or neighbors. Bloom right where you're at. Don't always think that there's, well, when this happens, then I'll do this. Instead say, no, I'm going to bloom right now. I'm going to bring the good news of God right where I'm at. I'm going to bloom and bear some fruit.
That's good. Okay, this one, it says, my word is consistent since I am not. Now, let's talk about that for just a moment. And I'm not saying that maybe you put that word on you as an ought to or a should do. Maybe that really bubbled up inside of you because God is giving you vision for what he wants to do. But maybe let's talk about those two instances. Are there times, because where we kind of become our own worst critic and we're talking about we're putting something on ourselves where God, where it's obligation versus invitation. And I'm not saying this is the case, but it just, you know, made me think of the question.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes our, the inner critic, you know, that voice that is kind of really tough on yourself. We all have it. Right. And it's fueled a lot of times can be fueled by the devil because he wants to lie and accuse you of being less than or not good enough. You have to discern whether it's the Holy Spirit saying, boy, if I could help you become more consistent this year, boy, you're going to do some great things. Like there's that piece. Is it hopeful? Is it optimistic? Or is it kind of condemning? If it feels condemning, then you know it's not of God. God never condemns the believer. He always lifts. And he may correct you, but he's always going to be with the eye towards this great future, a better you. So if you can honestly say, hey, I need to be more consistent because God's telling me, hey, this is a positive thing, then it's your word. You know, go for it.
So good.
But if it's more like I'm condemning myself, right, you know, it doesn't feel good.
So a thought comes to me, and friend, I might be just reading this all wrong. Again, that might just be right from the Lord. And if it is, we bless you. But if not, if it feels like since you're not consistent, you really should have the word consistent. Maybe a better word is momentum, because consistency breeds momentum. And I think momentum to me casts a vision for why to be consistent, you know, because to me that's super inspiring. So just a thought. Okay. This one says, she's in a hard season, and God gave her this word to pray and to tap into his power every day to receive his strength and comfort through this time. Not that I don't pray, but that prayer would become stronger and more faithful. So I'm wondering if it's what's pray. The word is pray. There you go.
Yep.
What do you say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because the one thing that I've been careful to do over the years is pick words for people, or, you know, because I do that. I tend to do that. And my kids will tell you that. Like my daughter will say, Dad, you've given me the last 3 years worth of words, you know?
I'm sorry. I'm ready for my own word.
I'm sorry, honey. Yeah. You're going to need some counseling over this, you know? And, but it's so personal. And if someone goes through the process, this is the reason I believe in the process. Because it does confirm it. It really does allow you the space and time to confirm your initial impression. So if my initial impression is consistent, for example, for the last caller, or it's pray, if it's confirmed in the process, or you will start to you'll start to see those words come and you'll know. It usually takes me a while to figure out my word. So when I look at that, I think, pray, I mean, gosh, is there anything more important right now than prayer? And as someone who struggles with the discipline of prayer, I admire anybody that is going to take that on and say that's going to be part of what I do. Yep.
So good. All right, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll take Barb's word is encourage. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Another one is discipline. Another one is reconcile. Boy, these are so good. I love that you've thought about them. If you've got questions about how to just discern your word, maybe give us a little information on the season you're in and the sense you're getting from God, and maybe we can process a little bit, help you discern your word. You can text 877-933-2484. Talking to Jimmy Page today, he co-authored with a couple of his buddies this little hard cover book, One Word That Will Change Your Life, and it's just short, easy read, but to help you, it just sort of works you to that place where you discern the word God's given you. And then the journal is really cool, the One Word Journal, your weekly journey for life change. And you can read, I'll put my one word into action by, I'm going to bless others, I will impact others with my word. What areas of my one word, what areas need my one word the most? Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial. So for me, for instance, ease is my word. I'll confess to you, I've said this on the show before, that because of health challenges, I've been quick to spend money on supplements, just quick with the trigger. And that's a striving. That's not an ease in the effort. And I've been really thinking about that. Stop, slow down, and trust God. So it's just worth thinking about it on multiple dimensions. Talking to Jimmy Page, more with him in just a moment. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Jimmy Page. He joins us every year about this time to walk and work through with us the one word that really is kind of our word for the year and why that matters. What's so beautiful about this idea is you start to look at how does that word impact me financially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Has God dropped a word in my heart because of what he wants to do in and through me? It just makes you more perceptive to all the multiple ways God is breathing and moving in your life. So Barb writes in, she says, there have been many hardships in my family, and I find myself looking for the next disaster. So to combat this, I want to encourage others. So her word is encourage. And how might that word surprise Barb? What do you say, Jimmy?
Well, what I love about it, of course, is the Bible is full of encouragement. And I think about Hebrews 13:3, which says, every day encourage someone as long as it's called today. Mm. So everyone is under encouraged. And here's the other thing is he who or she who refreshes others will be themselves refreshed. So there's no greater way to refresh someone than to encourage them. So you've experienced challenging times and there's almost this kind of a dread for the future, but instead of allowing that dread to overcome you now, what you're saying is, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to encourage others who may need to be encouraged. But I'm just telling you, in your refreshing of others, you will be refreshed.
Amen. Amen. That is so good. All righty. Oh, this word. Oh, I could cry. This one. Her word is mother. And she says, patiently waiting to conceive after God blessed her husband with an easy recovery from a reversal surgery. She says, never wanted kids, but God revealed to us a desire of their heart and her heart to be a mother. So what do you say?
Well, I think that is it's just an incredible gift, right? And it's an incredible longing in the heart of a woman, you know, so I just look at it like, wow, you know, think about that, to be a mother and to have that longing. And then it kind of combines with so many other words that have already been shared with trust and surrender and ease. And, you know, there is a letting go because God is the creator of life and he knows exactly the desires of your heart. And I just believe, wow, you know, what a blessing it will be this year if that comes to pass. I mean, that would just be amazing.
Tell us, friend. Keep us posted. I pray you get a quick miracle. That is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. This dear one says, my hope and prayer is that he would use me for his glory. I really don't know what God has planned, but I do hear him moving and speaking to me. She says, my routine has been shattered and I'm stronger in him now than ever before. I trust him to do the impossible and I'm going to be available for him to do this. I've been praying a lot as King David did. He prayed, he listened, he obeyed. So I didn't get a sense of the word, but has anything come to you as I read that?
Yeah. Oh, right away. Like, I think the word might be purpose. And what I love about that is we think of purpose in terms of big P purpose, like what's my purpose, you know, and if I can't find my purpose, I have this constant discontentment. And God doesn't want us living in that space. Instead, what he's saying is there's purpose in the little things. There's purpose in every small interaction. And a friend of ours, Matthew Kelly, he's an author, tremendous author, wrote a book called Holy Moments. And if you ever want purpose in your life, or if you ever want a sense that you're making a difference, this little book called Holy Moments is one of those books because it restores the purpose and the glory of God in the littlest things, in the small acts of kindness. All of a sudden, you will see that every opportunity can be a holy moment, can be a moment with purpose. So I would just say, hey, look for the little things. Don't worry about the big, big things necessarily. Worry about those little things that you have an opportunity every day to be part of.
Very good. This one wants help. She says, I'd love help in discerning the word. As she says, she feels pulled to choose because she desires change in so many areas of her life. She's in her mid-30s. Mama, listen to this, of 6 treasures, 9 to 9 months old. So I'm a little tired, she says. Physically not recognizable to herself. She's unhappy of where her health is. She hungers for a deeper relationship with Jesus, with friends. She longs to have time to be creative and engage in a hobby. Don't know if this little synopsis will help. Help me think and pray over a word. What comes to me right away? Do you have one coming to you? I'll let you speak first.
No, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, vitality. That's just fantastic. The word that came to me. Just and refresh, Angie says. Refresh is one. Maybe you need to be refreshed. Right? The reason I picked vitality is just a sense of where you're showing up in all these areas of your life with more to spare, that you're not hanging on and drawing from just the bottom of the well. Any other thoughts for this dear one?
It's so good. I the word that came to my mind was transformed or transformation.
Okay.
It's this idea that, hey, you want to be better in all these areas, but really what God wants to do is not just make you better. He wants to transform you, you know, change you from one thing to the next. So I think in terms of like the, I'm going to get this wrong, but the caterpillar that becomes transformed into the butterfly, that's what I love about transformation is now all of your relationships are changed. Maybe your physical health is changed. Like I think she started out by saying she wants change. So this transformation means, it doesn't mean you get better. It means you become something different. Now that
Beautiful.
To me, that gets me out of bed in the morning, you know, like,
yeah. Very good. All right. This dear one says, sorry if this is already said previously. I know I'm responding late. Just tuned in a few minutes ago. I'm so excited for this new year. Her word is discipline.
Yeah. Well, discipline is, I think it was Craig Rochelle that once upon a time says, you know, discipline means doing what you need most instead of what you want now. So discipline, you know, kind of means that you have a longer term perspective. And it requires commitments, right? So a lot of people at this time of year will set goals. Oh, this is what I want to happen. I want this to happen. And I'm like, no, don't set a goal. Set a commitment. This is what will happen. That's a different level of mental focus and commitment. I don't desire it. I'm disciplined to do it. So now if your word is discipline, it's like, hey, that's going to inform every choice that I make is going to be informed with the idea of making the best decision in that moment.
I also really think it speaks of sacred yeses, you know, because every time we say yes, we say no. And so if you're saying no to something, you're available for a bigger yes. I want to take a few minutes on this one where the time's gone by so fast, but this one is reconcile. And there's so many thoughts that are coming to my mind about that one. But what do you say, Jimmy?
Well, reconcile is amazing, right? Because it creates a posture of humility in you. You can't reconcile with someone else, especially if you are the person that maybe is offended or done something to create the break. A lot of times we think in terms of, well, I want to forgive somebody. Everyone else is doing the wrong thing. But a lot of times we may have caused the break, right? Or in most cases, it's a mutual break. God is a God of reconciliation. He reconciles us to God himself through Christ. You know, there's no longer two, it's one. Jesus prays at the end of his ministry, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. He has a desire for unity and reconciliation. He is the one that's going to bring reconciliation. A lot of times our pride and our brokenness gets in the way. You can only be responsible for your side of the equation. So if you go into it knowing, I am open to reconcile, I am going to be an agent of reconciliation, it will create a posture of humility and then help relationships to heal.
So good. The other 2 points I'd add is, you know, this charge for us as God's people, as ambassadors, to tell the world, be reconciled to God, so that God would use you as a conduit to you know, charge people, be reconciled to God. And one other piece is you reconciling the promises of God. Maybe where your experience has sent a different message to you, where you've adjusted your theology because of experience, and God saying, no, reconcile the truth of my promises. This is where we need a 2-hour show, Jimmy, because it goes by way too fast, but we're out of time. Thank you. Thank you for the time today. It's always so great to talk with you.
I love it. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Yeah. come back again. And friends, I pray you found some encouragement here. I'm sorry we couldn't get to every text, but we love you and appreciate you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.